Thanks again for listening to the Park Hills Podcast. If you want more information on things we're doing, go to parkhillschurch.com or the Park Hills Church app. All right. So the last couple of podcasts, we've talked about worship. We've talked about creation. Let's throw those couple of things together here, maybe, and let's think about how amazing our God is and what are some of the things that make us want to worship him, some of the attributes that he has given access to, some of the things he's provided us with. Really, the question, I guess, is how blessed are we? How awesome is God that we have access to him? So, well, for you, as I lob this to you, what are some of the things that you're most thankful for, some of the things that he's done or is that make you go, man, I don't deserve that?
Yeah, I mean, just to like throw out the obvious ones because they are so great is just his creation of myself. And we've talked about God's generosity and creation in the last podcast, so I won't go crazy on that.
But I'm grateful that I live and you are too. That's good.
Yeah, and then the creation of the people I have relationships with, you know, whether they're like family relationships, like, you know, my wife and children and parents, siblings, extended family, things like that, or just the like deep friendships that I have. God has created and put all those things in place for me to experience attributes of him, like the connection I have. You know, the love I have for my kids is a unique love. The love you have for children is unique to all other types of love, and it helps me understand and experience God's love for me when I see how I love my own kids. So I think that's pretty cool.
Let me jump in there because I don't know if you've done this, but for premarital counseling or when a couple's about to have a child, I tell them, listen, I know you two think you love each other, but you have never felt anything like you're going to feel when you hold this little one. Mm-hmm. Right? So like what you just said, it's a different type of love.
Yeah.
I love Heidi with every fiber of my being. And I am intentionally choosing to love her. The unconditional love that comes to a child, when you understand what Christ has done for you and you want to apply that to your child, it's a totally different level of love.
Yeah, and I would just say a different like type of love because, yeah, the choosing love that I have for my wife is a little bit different. And also, she does not frustrate me the way my kids do.
Yeah. Totally.
And so it's just like, it's not to say that to put one above the other because then the way we relate to them is different. Like I will always choose my wife over my kids. Like that's
right.
That's biblical too. Like if there's, you know, I can't even think of what would be the situation, but just like, yeah, I choose my wife and not to say that I'm not going to provide for my kids or that, totally. Like, you know, but just like that's the love choice. So it's just the nature of that love is different, I guess.
Yeah.
And you really have to experience it to know it, like not to put down people who aren't married or don't have kids. It's just the nature of those loves are different than the nature of some of the other loves that I have. And all that to say that teaches me about God's character as God fathers is my parent, my heavenly father, and then also as Christ loved the church. And, you know, that's described as a marriage, Christ's relationship with the church. When I'm married to Narissa, that helps me understand how Christ loves the church. And so just the nature of those relationships, God's creativity in that, and then he's given those things to me. It just draws me sometimes just to like, it blows me away. Just like sometimes I do sit there and I'm just like, wow. Like the way I know God loves and treats me just because of the feeling I have for my wife right now or the feeling I have for my kids right now or even to extend that, it's not exclusive to those relationships, but for the feeling that I have with my friends right now, like the nature of that type of love, that brotherly type love, all those relationships, I'm like, wow, I don't know. What about you?
No, you've got me thinking. That's just good. When I think about, you were looking for an illustration, it made me think of a plane crash. If I were, and I'm not saying one where everyone dies, but I'm saying if we were in a, if my whole family was in a plane crash, my first responsibility in my mind is to save Heidi's life. Heidi's responsibility is to save the girls' lives. Mm-hmm. So if I save Heidi, she's going to have the two girls, you know, gathered in close. And it's just making me think about even the different ways of love. You know, I'm going to get them off the plane before I get off the plane, even if it's to my detriment, I will sacrifice myself for my wife and for my children, but my wife in my mind comes first. Now that's good. I like that. I mentioned this in the sermon, but very briefly, I think one of the things that I just, and it deals with love, but the grace, I don't even know that we understand how amazing grace is. You know, I think,
well, there's a song about
there's it. There's a song about it. Absolutely. In a movie. But I don't know about you, but the further I get in my walk with Christ, and I don't mean that in a sense of I'm further in the journey, more mature. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the older I get in my relation with Jesus and the more time I spend with him, it exposes such darkness inside of me that I didn't know was there. So I think I've said this in a sermon before that I don't do what I used to do, but that doesn't mean I'm less of a sinner today than I was then. Right? Because it's not that and that's not to say that I'm not sinning less. I think if you were to spend time with me, versus high school me, I clearly sin less to some extent. I'm more aware of how in depth my sin is now, mm-hmm. which makes me more amazed at how grace works. That he loved even that dark, dark part of me that I didn't think was going to arrive. You know, I spent time with a friend recently who fasted for 3 days just because they were overwhelmed with their pride. One day something was said and they got so arrogant about it in their own heart. No one even knew about it. So they just fasted to spend time with the Lord.
Wow.
And I'm going, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I get how messed up I am. And I'm being made more aware of it each day than I was before.
Yeah. It's that old adage, the more you learn, the less you know type of thing.
Like, yes.
Like, okay, how does a car work? Well, I put gas in, I turn the engine, I turn the key, it starts the engine. If that's all you know, you're like, yeah, I understand how a car works. But then the more you like dig into it, you're like, oh man, this is so complex. I didn't even know there were things in here. You know, to the average person, you start naming like some of the parts or take something more complex like an airplane. Like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, there's this particular part that makes this thing happen. And the more you learn and the more you learn about it, the more you're like, I don't fully understand. I don't know all the different aspects of it. You know, it's crazy.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm reading this book right now. It's called Nuts and Bolts. It's just interesting information about stuff. It talks about rivets on an airplane and like how we got to rivets today. Like I've never thought about how's a plane work. You put it all together. But like, do we know that? Did you know that, you know, rivets were how they were invented and the type of material they have to use and why rivets work and bolts don't on an airplane? Mm-hmm. And they invented a rivet during World War II that was flat on one end. And they didn't even think that it mattered that it had a little bump on the outside of the plane because they didn't really understand aerodynamics. So then this guy invented this really expensive flat rivet. And to test it out, they made the plane with flat rivets, and then they glued split peas all over the outside of the plane. They flew it around, and it flew like 37 kilometers an hour slower because it had all these bumps. And like, yeah, you just never think like, oh yeah, you put the wings together, all that. Did you know all the complexity in the rivet? Anyway, it's just crazy. I just read the weirdest books.
I am totally with you. Like those things nerd me out. Like when I think about the space program, and I think about the fact that we think through what part of the atmosphere we should drop into and that we build material to like not burn up when that thing falls in.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
And somebody had to like think that up and work with those materials.
Yes.
And so then you think of like all of creation, and I've said this in other podcasts too, all of creation, just the ecosystem of creation, how creation all fits together. You're like, yes, this works. It's a system that works. And yeah, it's sin has wreaked havoc on it, but even yet it works.
Yeah.
And just that is like moments of worship for me. And I've loved doing some outdoor stuff. I wasn't really an outdoorsy guy. Not that I wasn't, but just didn't really interest me as much until a handful of years ago, my brothers-in-law, we get along really well. We went on a a trip out to Colorado, went hiking. And then, so we did that one summer. Cool, super experience. Never done any like backpacking, mountain, you know, camp out in the woods, carry everything on your back. And then the next year, I was telling my friend about it, and he's like, I'm going to plan one. So we did that one. And then the next year, we started doing our men's hikes here. And so after never having done anything like this my entire life and not really even being that interested, I just did it because my brother-in-law, now I go on at least one backpacking trip a year. And you just get out there and you're just like, man, it's a marvel at God's creation in the natural world. It's just like the moments of worship you find there. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Because I grew up a city kid, right? Like I was near enough to the country, but you know, the flatlands of Michigan, there's not like, oh, there's great outdoor experiences. I had more moments of like just seeing people brought me to worship. You get inside a big city center and you're like, wow, all this buzz has an origin in God. Anyway.
No, I'm with you. And I think about, so to that end, I think about God as provider. And it's one of the reasons I'm not interested in building a bunker in my house or having a bunch of food in the basement. And I, just practically speaking, and I could be totally wrong. You know, you could argue with me about this. You could tell me I'm a total idiot, whatever, let's go. But one of the reasons why I am not a prepper, why I'm not so scared at the end of the age is, first of all, I don't know that we're going to be here. So I'm okay with I'm okay with that. Second of all, I do believe that God is provider. And so if I'm supposed to waste away and die, then I trust that that's the plan he has for me and I'm going to be okay. But if I'm, you know, tagged by him as a servant of him in the next age, you know, as the world comes unraveled and he, for whatever reason, doesn't take us off this planet, I'm going to have what I need. We're going to be okay. Even if it means that I have to pay for it with my life because someone chops my head off because I'm not taking the mark, I'm in. I don't care.
Yeah.
So when I hear all these people talk about doomsday and prepping and Armageddon, and I just, we're going to be okay. That doesn't mean that people don't starve. That doesn't mean that people aren't taken care of. There's worse ways to die. I'll be okay. It's going to be fine. So I just trust him so much as provider that I don't even think about 10 weeks from now. I think about I'll be fine today. And then if the whole economic structure of the entire planet collapses, we're going to be okay. Let me just go down one more road with you since we're doing rabbit trails in all these different podcasts. I was thinking about the other day, I own a house, but I don't own a house. The bank owns the house. And I thought, what if the dollar does collapse like some people are convinced is going to happen? Well, someone's going to buy that mortgage with whatever frame of economic, whatever they have. They're going to have to give me a chance to earn that economic whatever to be able to pay this thing, or I'm going to squat. I'm never going in it. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, even if everything collapses, we're going to be okay. And I don't think people think like that. But I almost want our worship in God to be to that extent that we just go, I'm not really worried about that because at the end of the day, we're all going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've thought about this because we, Chris and I will sit around and just like,
we joke.
Yeah, just joke or just like spitball about like, what if an empire fell? What if all of America fell? And then what would happen? You know, Rome has fallen. Yeah. Nations, empires have fallen. But when Rome fell, it's not like every Roman like died in that moment. It's not like, you know, it's not like a board game where like you're playing Risk and you're going to take out the blue team and you're just like, all the blue team are killed now. You know, let's say this empire of America as we know of it tomorrow ceased to exist. That doesn't mean every American all of a sudden is like wiped off the planet.
Right.
You know, we didn't get conquered by the blue team and the blue team like swept us off. It's like, ha ha ha, no.
Well, there's a great podcast on this called The Fall of Rome that actually talks about British Roman generals who have now retired to Britain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they were from, let's say, outside of London, because the city is that old. I mean, just it's on the verge of that. So let's say they live outside of London and they go and they fight for the Roman army in Gaul, right?
So what's the time period you're talking about? Like first, second century?
300 AD, yeah, okay. 400 AD. And as Rome falls, those individuals living in Britain have a retirement fund that's supposed to be paying them, and it just stopped coming to them. So what they did was they just started living other ways. They created their own currency, which eventually became, you know, the Bank of Britain, so to speak. And they just started serving their co-op around them, and they started taking care of each other in that way. So they'd provided each other food. They traded this way. Rome just collapsed. It never fully went away. It just wasn't paying salaries anymore because the Roman coins had no value.
Right.
So if the dollar disappears, which it's all imaginary anyway,
yeah,
it's going to be okay. Like at the end of this thing, there's no world in which we all have nothing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, going back to like the point of this episode, we're trying to say, you know, what moments of God's creation, I think God creating creativity, you know, what is creativity, or why does creativity happen? Creativity solves a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, again, the same book that I'm reading, it's talking about the invention of like some of the very, it's six like of the very first tools. So the nail, the wheel, it's got a couple in there. I'm only that far. I'm only in chapter two. Anyway, it mentions that just about everything was created by humans. Everything that was invented by a human
right.
was invented to solve a problem.
Right.
Like nobody just goes around, or there's that one YouTube channel, the guy who invents unnecessary things.
he's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he's got some of the most random things. Like this will like, you know, hold your cup for you. And it's like a rubber hand that you hold the hand and then the hand holds the cup. Everything that's invented is to solve some sort of problem. And the fact that God gave us that level of creativity, like he's creative and he created the whole world. And then he gave us a creativity to solve and deal with problems. And then we can express that creativity in the problems of our life. Mm-hmm. So both big picture, you know, nationally, globally even, but also individually. Like if there are problems in my life, God has given me the creativity to work those out and to figure them out and make things better. That's marvelous to me.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And if you just stop and think about how he's made us, how we're so unique compared to the rest of creation, there's a lot to be thankful
you
for.
It. You did it.
What?
You said so unique.
Oh, you're welcome. Just for you. He likes to make fun of me if I say something that seems duplicitous.
You cannot put modifiers on unique. Either it's unique or it's not. It's one of a kind or it's not.
This episode was vastly unique. So unique. Thanks, Alex.